Mark chapter 3, this is the scene that we just saw. James and John, if you've studied any of the disciples, in fact, I would encourage you to study the 12 disciples, and then as you're studying it, figure out where you kind of you fall in line. Like, I love looking at the disciples and like figuring out, who do I relate to the most? I know for me, a lot of times it was Peter. Peter is kind of this character that puts his foot in his mouth every once in a while. He's kind of this character that jumps out of a boat without thinking about it. Anybody in here? Yep. If you're not raising your hand, it's you. All right. So, but as I've been studying James and John, specifically John, as I've just kind of taken a couple weeks and really looking at his life and looking at these brothers, James is the oldest and John's the second. As you can even see in this scene, just kind of depicting the older brother, the younger brother, kind of the passion, the zeal. I'm reminded of Proverbs 19, a passage I probably should get tattooed somewhere on my body that says, zeal without wisdom is foolishness. Another translation says to be zealous without wisdom is stupidity. Because we are passionate beings. We are passionate about certain things that happen in our lives, and Jesus is not trying to tame James and John. He's not saying to James and John, like, you need to be quiet. He's saying, James and John, use wisdom in your passion. Use wisdom in the fact that you are zealous. There are things that God has put on your heart, and because that happens, we get super zealous, and we get real busy about those things. And then life becomes about all of those passions. And again, it's awesome, it's great. We just have to realize that there's some people that aren't as passionate as we are. And that it's okay. It's okay. I'll never forget, like, talking to somebody about soccer, right? Something I'm passionate about, and people are like rolling their eyes at me. And I remember walking away and being like, why are you not as zealous about this? It's like, because we're all different. And I'll never forget, like, several years ago, and I've shared this story one other time. But 2018, I decided, I'd gotten a couple of yellow cards the year before. Those of you who don't know what that is, it's a time where you and the referee have a disagreement, and the referee wins. Right? It's really no point in arguing with the referee after he makes the call. And all it's doing is bringing the human element into it, knowing the next time he's probably going to get me. You know what I mean? Unless you throw out the wrong words, you know, then you're automatically getting it. Usually it was always, for me, it was always in defense of my players because I care so much about my players. But in 2018, I remember, like, okay, we got to change some things. Like, this passion that I have, like, I gotta stop taking out on the referees. And I remember saying to the girls in the locker room before the season, like, all right, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm not gonna argue at all with a referee. And I remember some of them who know me, they're like, okay, you know, that's a good one. And I took a totally different approach. And the approach was, I'm gonna have a discussion when it's not heated. I'm not gonna be someone that is going crazy on the sidelines in the heat of the moment. Afterwards, we can have a discussion. And it just was a different approach for me. In my mind, it was wisdom. In my mind, it was, why am I getting so worked up? At the end of the season, I'm surrounded by all these other coaches, and they're talking about the team of the year. Like, who is the team of the year? And it's hard to determine that. Like, how do you say, like, sportsmanship team of the year? Like, how do you say, like, yeah, we're the sportsmanship team of the year? Like, it's something hard to... So they're like, guys, we don't know how else to say this, but, like, let's go by yellow cards. How many teams, you know, had zero yellow cards? And everyone kind of laughed, and I was like... And they're like, you had zero yellow cards all year. Like, of course, some of them know me. They're like, you had zero yellow cards all year. I'm like... Yeah, we did good this year. You know, it was a good year, and we did. So they're like, absolutely, you're sportsman team of the year. Like, there's no doubt, no yellow cards. Well, it goes all the way through. You know, that's just our region. It goes all the way through, And 2018, Columbia High School girls soccer was the sportsmanship team of the year for the whole state. Like, we ended up winning the whole thing. Like, no, no, don't clap. Don't clap, because I've gotten yellow cards since then. But anyway. thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. You know. The point was, like, how are we using wisdom in the things that we're passionate about? And this is what's happening with James and John. James and John are passionate about the things, but we can read throughout Scripture that James and John have this background where they're fishermen, and it's not just fishermen. The Bible tells us they had hired servants. That means dad had a fisherman business, and they were working for dad, but normally when you're working for dad, dad doesn't have hired servants. So they're people of money and influence, and you can see throughout Scripture that John has influence where the other disciples didn't have influence. That there was something different about John and James when Jesus said to them, like, will you follow me? And they left their father Zebedee, and they left him, and they said, yes, we want to follow him. There was this passion about them that Jesus captured, but yet he was still fine-tuning those things. And we can see it in Matthew 20 and Mark chapter 10. I'll just read from Matthew 20. It says this, verse 20. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons, and she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked, and she replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right, on the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. And Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right and my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had asked, so it wasn't just, Mark 10 doesn't even bring mom into it. Mark's version, it doesn't even have mom there. It says, listen, I see this picture going this way. Mom comes in and says, come on, boys. Come on. If you're a coach at all, you know these parents. Anyway, come on. Come on. Let's talk to Jesus. They start talking. Mom starts talking. All of a sudden, James and John are like, yeah, what's she saying? I want spot on this team. And I'm willing to do, yeah, I'll suffer. Yeah, I'll run. Yeah, I'll show up early. Yeah, I'll do all these things. I'll do whatever it takes. One on the right, one on the left. Yeah, what they said. It says the other 10 are so mad at those two guys. But Jesus called them together. And this is what Jesus said. You know the rulers in this world, they lord it over their people. That's still true today. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Listen, these are the best words you're going to hear all day. The next verse. But among you, it will be different. James and John, among you, this is going to be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you, you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know what bothers me most in culture right now? And we could talk all day long about it. What bothers me most, and don't take this wrong because I believe every generation says this about the next generation. I believe they said it about my generation. And I believe the oldest generation here, your grandparents said it about your generation. But at some point, the more we keep allowing, the weaker the generations are getting. And listen, it's not the generation's fault. It's easy for us to go like, you've become this. No, we've let them become this. We've said things like, well, it's too hard, and I don't want to hurt their feelings, and I don't want them to be mad at me, and so I'm not going to say. Listen, by not saying anything, you've said something.
Jesus said, no, here's what I'm putting a stop to. James and John, you think you're worthy to sit next to me? Here's what you have to understand. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to take this pyramid, this cultural pyramid that puts the leader at top? Are you willing to turn that thing upside down and come to the bottom and start serving the people instead of having them serve you? Are you willing for you to be different? Are you willing for this to happen? Because if you're not willing, it's never going to happen. This is what he's talking about. He's like, no, it's going to be different amongst you. And this is how we change. It's not that we don't say something. We model it and we say, guys, come on. We're raising. We're raising a coward generation, you guys. Listen. Oh, who's more offended by what's going on right now, you or your kids? You know what happens in my life? My life is that I'm not just carrying offense, I'm carrying your offense. This is where we run into problems. This is why we can't defend ourselves, because I don't know actually what I believe, because I've so much put everything I believe in what somebody else believes, but I don't know why they believe it. And so instead of doing the hard work, doing the behind the scenes, we gravitate towards success and say, I want that, but I don't want to pay a price. This is what Jesus is saying. Like, that's cool. You want to sit here? Understand the sacrifice of what it's going to take to sit here. Like, I think we see this Instagram world, the social media world, and we see the highlights, and he comes in and goes, listen, there's a cost to that picture. Are we willing to pay a price, is what he's saying. And he goes, and this is what it is. It's not demanding leadership. It's grabbing a towel. It's having people take off their shoes and serving them. That's difficult, you guys. It's tough. Jesus says, among us, you know who he's talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people that are saying, I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus. And because I'm a follower of Jesus, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. Quietly. Serving. Without any recognition. This is the reason Paul told the Philippian church, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important. The NLT says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of yourselves, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Guys, when has that happened? When has that happened for us? Like, he's saying, guys, among you it must be different. And here's what needs to be different. What needs to be different is we need to, you know, James, like, barely even got any lines in the Bible. You know his two lines in the Bible? In Acts chapter 12, when it talks about James, about the time King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church, he had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with the sword. And when Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placed him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out of public trial after, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed earnestly for him. You know what we hear about James? When he's getting his head cut off. Why? Because James is sharing the gospel. Jesus saying, listen, James, John, I don't mind your request, but are you willing to be a voice knowing that there's going to be consequences? And what we've done, what we're creating, you guys, is this cultural, like, do whatever you want, there's no consequences. Yes, there are. Yes, there are. If we're trying to get everybody to like us, you're going to live a messed up life. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because even the guy who sells ice cream still is going to find someone with lactose intolerant. I mean, it's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. I mean, Luke chapter 9. Listen, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and look, every time it talks about John, it's negative. Then you read the book of John, and John doesn't even address himself. And it's super positive about John. And he says things like, you know, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it doesn't say John, the disciple Jesus loved. It only says that in the book of John. That's it. Peter and John were running to the, Peter and the other disciple is running to the tomb. The other disciple got there first. We know that story in John 20. Who's the other disciple? John! Like he's writing about himself. John 21, he's writing about himself. John, I mean, all of these things. John 20, 21, look at it real quick. And Peter turned around and saw behind him, behind them, the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, Lord, who's going to betray you? He's talking about himself. Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord, pointing to John? And Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. Can I give us a word for today? Can we start asking this question right here? What is that to you? Like, can this be the statement that we as the church decide to live on social media? To where we ask the question, what does this have to do with me? Jesus says to all of us, as for you, follow me. So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. I mean, this is culture right here, you guys. That's not what Jesus said. Yet rumors were started about John that he was never going to die, all because Peter was so insecure about who John was. Because Peter is so insecure about how John was being treated. You know, John, he's leaning over on Jesus' shoulder and saying, which one's going to betray you, Lord? And Peter's all mad, like, what about him? What about him? And Jesus is like, what is that to you, Peter? Like, Peter, what's this have to do with you? Just follow me. And then rumors amongst the church was that John was going to live forever, even though that's not what Jesus said. Philippians 2 continues in verse 4. And don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have, and this is the key, the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. What's the Bible say? He took the humble position of a slave. And that humble position of a slave made him obedient even to the obedience of the cross. He's saying, listen, church, church of Philippi, church in Columbia, Illinois, church across the United States of America, church across our world, you want to know what it's supposed to be for us right now? We're not supposed to be passionate without wisdom. You know what it's supposed to be for us right now? We're to look different. How are we supposed to look different? We are to take the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. In his humility, he became obedient to the cross. In his humility, he said, God, whatever it is that you want, I am willing to do. Will it cost me in my life? It might. Will it cost me a job? It might. Will it cost me a position on a team? It might. But God, in humility, I say yes. Why? Because we're to have the same attitude of Christ. And the attitude that Christ had was he was the attitude of a servant, of a slave. How are we doing, you guys? How are we doing? Like, come on, how are we doing? I'm not asking you a question that you can't answer. I'm asking you a question that you need to answer, that we as the church need to answer. Because I don't want to be doom and gloom, all right? But if you think That we need to wait for culture to change so that we can go back to the American dream. You're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. And the band's coming up because they're like, I need you to be done. I haven't gotten to my points yet. All right, so real quick. And this isn't going to be on the screen because I got it like 10 minutes ago. It is wrong as the church to have a bad attitude. It's wrong for us as sons and daughters, royalty that God says we are, to have a bad attitude. And I'm tired of us as the church justifying our bad attitude. Every single one of this room, we've been wronged. There's been an injustice that has happened to us. And all of us can say, I am doing this because of this. And you're going to get people to come along you and go, you should be mad. That should bother you. But Jesus is saying to us today, but among you, it will be different. Among us, it will be different. Nope, we're not going to have a bad attitude because of who I am. I am a son of Almighty God. And I do not deserve to have a bad attitude. I don't care what Fox says. I don't care what CNN says. I know what the Bible says. And I am royalty. I am victorious. I am more than a conqueror. And I'm done with justifying my bad attitude. Culture wants you to have a bad attitude. Stop it. You're the church. You do not have a right to have a bad attitude. As he said in the movie, because a couple people said something that you didn't agree with. Because a bad attitude flows from a prideful heart. It says we deserve. It says we should be different. It screams, give me control. It screams, I'm in charge. Listen to me right now. None of us in this room are in charge. You're not in charge. But I like control. I know. That's why you're still in the season you're in. You want to know why you're still in the season you're in? Because you like control. And God says, listen, when you give up control, you'll move out of the season. Well, I don't like this season. Then stop trying to control it. I have no doubt you're in a season longer than you should be. You know why you're there? Because you're choosing to be there. I don't like that you talk like that. I like blaming my friends instead. I like blaming my boss, my ex-husband, my ex-wife, my kids who are holy terrors. I like blaming them. Well, you can blame them all day long, but I'm going to just tell you, you're going to stay in the season you're in. Why? Because your attitude sucks. You want to go higher, but your attitude is keeping you lower. You want something different, then I'm going to tell you, you got to do something different. Have you ever been around somebody who walks into a room and changes the culture? Anybody? Just me. You're like, did you look at the clock one more time? It's blinking at you that you're done. My bad attitude is more infectious than any variant that's going around. My bad attitude, listen, that's not a knock on COVID. I know it's real. But I'm telling you, we don't have a virus issue, we have a sin issue. And I'm telling you right now, we have a bad attitude issue, and it is more infectious than anything else that's going on right now. My attitude is infectious. It is infectious. Stop joining in with people that have a bad attitude, which is leading to gossiping and slandering. It's leading to isolating people because we're isolating them. And it's because my attitude is infectious. It's a good way or a bad way. The joy of the Lord or it's not. Okay? When we find ourselves in this place, here's the solution. Stop. Repent, turn to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and there we find joy, there we find peace, there we overcome any circumstance and strength to never be the same again. Because when we read this Bible, we believe truly that James and John became men who were so passionate about certain things that they were deemed the sons of thunder. But John is known as the guy who penned this phrase, that God is love. And because he became the God who is love, he became the apostle of love, and he went from a son of thunder to an apostle of love. And God who changed John can change you too. That's what we believe. That's what we believe. We believe that it can actually happen. We don't believe that once a cheat, always a cheat. Once a liar, always a liar. We believe that if we stop and we repent, my attitude can change. My mindset can change. My life can change, which means my eternity changes. That's what that means. That's what that means. Listen, don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in the fears of this life that halt us from moving forward. Don't get caught up in it. I would have said that statement 4 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago. Okay, don't read into something that's not there. All right, that pastor, he's talking about fear again. All he does is talk about COVID. Nope, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying as long as we're in this world, the devil's going to deceive us with fear. You're like, well, how do I know? Because you're breathing. You're alive today in 2021. And the enemy's contending for your life. So what do? We turn to Jesus, the author and the finisher, and say, God, you can have it all. Every single part of my world. This is a song I asked them to sing. Why? Because it is the best prayer for where we're living. God, you can have it all. Every part of my world. God, take it. Make it what you want. God, I give you control. If you're a control freak in this room, the best thing that you can say is, God, I'm not in control, I'm giving it to you. You're like, well, that freaks me out. That's the point. It's supposed to freak you out. It's supposed to make you uncomfortable. Good news of who Jesus is. Would you stand today? Casey said this in the beginning. We've carried something inside this room. Let me just say this, and this isn't for everybody, but some of you, you're carrying something that you were never intended to carry. It's not yours to carry. I'm going to say it in the best way that I can say it, and it sounds super easy. It's very difficult, but in my best, we watch this a lot, in my best frozen voice, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. What do I do with this? Let it go. How? Let it go. You're holding on to it. Just let it go. Let it go today. Let it go. It's defeating you. It's hurting you. Let it go today. If you're in this room, you just say, hey, right now, I need prayer over a specific area. Right now in my life, whatever it is, you're distracted. You're carrying something. You just need prayer right now. Can you just lift up a hand? There's no head bowed, eyes closed. It don't matter. It don't matter. Yeah, just lift a hand up. Lift a hand up. This is you acknowledging. God, you can have it right now. This is you acknowledging it right now. Okay? We're not worried about the person next to us, around us. This is just us being honest right now. We're going to sing about it in a second. It's going to last 3 minutes, I promise you. You're going to be out of here by 11:30. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I know. Stomach's growling. I get it. No, I don't. Jesus, right now, we lift our hands to you, God. And God, we know that when we lift our hands, we got to let go of something. So God, all across this room, whatever it is that we're carrying that we shouldn't be carrying, whatever it is that we've given control in our life, or we've given priority in our life, or we've said we want to make it priority, God, we're letting it go today. And we're marking this day, August the 15th, 2021, where we're saying, God, you can have it all. You can have it, God. We're giving it to you. We're stressing about work. We're stressing about this and that. But God, we're saying today, no, we're giving it to you. We're giving it to you because that's your promise. Come to me. God, we're doing that. We're coming to you. because you said to us, among you it will be different. So God, I'm asking you right now to change the attitude of your church. Change the attitude of your church, God. God, may we turn this pyramid upside down and be men and women who serve our families, serve our teens, serve our community. We're willing to jump in front to serve, to give our lives away. God, people, may people know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And may they see it in us. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Can we sing this song? Come on. Let's sing it together.
You can have